So there you go, Kevin Barker. We were wondering if there was an offense in baseball that was worse than the Blue Jays. We found it.
Yeah, it's not good. Kevin was good today, though.
Yeah, he was.
Give him credit.
Let's start positive. 2-1, the Blue Jays have beaten the Texas Rangers in the first game of this three-game series. It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker, a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk.
Told you.
Yeah, right, with Blair and Barker. 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. The numbers, *590. I think I mentioned *590. 590-590 is the text line. Get your texts and calls in ASAP. The Jays getting a couple of runs. A home run from wake up, Jeff.
Dalton Varsho.
And a sacrifice fly from Alejandro Kirk. In and around that, they were 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. But it did not matter because for the fourth consecutive start, Kevin Gausman, no walks. 15 swings and misses at a variety of his pitches, Kevin. He was awfully good. Now, this is a team that's been scuffling to score runs, but Kevin Gausman was still awfully good. What was he at one point? 22 of 24 first pitch strikes. I think his first 12 or 14 pitches of the game were strikes. He was just really good.
Well, I mean, thank goodness you got me, because I'm going to give you the exact number. He was 14-for-14 throwing strikes to start the game.
That's what I said, didn't I?
He was 25. No, you said 12-for-14.
That's,
I mean,
close.
Give the exact number. Throwing strike one, he was 25-for-29.
You edumacate me.
Which is unbelievable. The velocity on his fastball was very consistent. It was 95 miles an hour. But for me, the biggest key was keeping the split finger from running. When it runs, it goes side to side. It's good hitting. When it looks like a heater, the change of speed and it dives straight down is when it's money. And that's exactly what's starting to take place, right? And when you can do that, you can throw 48 fastballs, 45 split fingers, and then you can sprinkle in three sliders just because you want to do that. So, you know, he got ahead. The home run he gave up to Wyatt Langford, occasionally you got to tip your hat. That's one of those, the 1-1 heater, it was 93 miles an hour on the black. Give Wyatt credit. I mean, he's basically their best hitter at the time, mm-hmm. with no Seager in the lineup. You know, when you make a decent pitch, occasionally the guy's just much better than you are that day. That's exactly what happened at bat. But give Kevin credit, man. I mean, he attacked the zone. He got ahead. Only one guy led off the inning getting on base. That was the home run from Wyatt Langford. Other than that, he would eliminate the leadoff hitter. You know, throwing strike ones, being consistent with the velocity, making two pitches look exactly the same. Get some timely hitting. That's how you went on the road.
Yeah, a little bit of timely hitting.
Well, they got enough.
They did get enough.
Yeah, and barely. Jeff Hoffman coming in and going 3-up, 3-down. It's a big deal when you got an ERA of over 16.
Yeah.
In May. So, you know, you sort of eliminate what happened in Florida. You come to Texas. You face a team probably you should be beating at this time of the year.
And you beat.
That's exactly what happened.
And you beat Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah. I mean,
In and of itself, regardless of how bad Texas's offense is, and let's be clear, it's awful, but regardless of how bad their offense is, you beat Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, and you mentioned this with Dalton Varsho in the lineup, you know, it's longer, right? I mean, he gives that left-handed slug to their lineup, which is much needed when Tony ain't doing his thing. And I've said this a bazillion times, and I'll continue to say it. When you can take a curveball that's a pitcher's pitch and force the guy, even with Jacob DeGrom's sort of stature, allow him to throw a slider down the middle. Sliders down the middle go a lot further than a curveball away from that's a pitcher's pitch. So, yeah, that's exactly what happened, right? You sort of pass the baton with the quality at bat. You get the timely hit when you need to get them. They had traffic. They just didn't run into any. This is sort of how they can consistently win baseball games.
2-1, the Blue Jays have beaten the Texas Rangers. Brad and Nipigon, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey. Yeah, Langford was a great draft pick, and DeGrom was an even better signing. But Varsho, what a trade. He has consistently performed as a slugger, and I find it unfathomable that people think that Moreno was potentially better on the squad. Like, no, Heinemann, obviously, on the concussion list. But Kirk, what a beaut. Honestly, the Jays are underperforming based on their record, but there's so much talent in the squad, and Kevin Gausman is an exemplification of that because, you know, like every hitter knows what's coming, the splitter fastball combo. But if you can't beat it, you know, try to join it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this, but I wouldn't necessarily go trumpeting that trade as the best trade in Blue Jays history. I mean, they did give up two everyday players, and they basically haven't replaced one of them. They're still hunting for somebody to hit in the middle of the order. Like, yep. I like Dalton Varsho as much as anybody, but do over. You probably don't want to be giving away two everyday players. For Dalton Varsho.
Give Dalton credit. He's made adjustments when he's needed
to make them. Well, Dalton Varsho, and
he's a really good center fielder,
slugging.
Which is what they need.
And he's given them extra base.
And he's left-handed and he's doing his thing. Yeah,
they don't have anybody else on the team who, right now, who gives you that consistent pop.
With Vladdy not doing much with the slug department, with Tony basically doing nothing, you need a guy. Varsho's been the guy, so you got to give him credit. Again, this is exactly what the doctor ordered. This is probably the way they're going to win games. If they make the playoffs, this is probably how they're going to do it. Great starting pitching. You have the closer come in, do his thing. You get a timely hit on the road.
Yep.
That's how you win.
I do have to say, too, about Alejandro Kirk. I mean, there are times on the base paths where he does cost you. They had a couple of instances today. We talked about this. A couple of instances today. The score should have been 4-1. One of those plays might have been close at home plate. I shouldn't really say that. But they should have had at least one other run. They were 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. They could have had at least one other runner across there.
Well, I think the Clement fly ball to right, that's probably nobody on the team, I would think, takes a chance on that. I think you're talking about scoring from the double to right field, from scoring from first, Kirky. You know, again.
I know, but I'm just saying.
You know, you're picking. I mean,
I'm saying just about everybody in baseball scores on that.
Maybe. I mean, Garcia's a pretty good right fielder. He's got a cannon for an arm, you know.
Anyhow.
You got to get really good jumps. You got to, be a good base runner. Basically, you're rounding second until he catches the ball. That'll give you a chance to score for first. That's not his strength.
No, it's not.
It is what it is.
It's not. And you are right. They did win. They did win 2-1. We shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth by any stretch of the imagination. And really, at this point, you can't be picky.
Win's a win, buddy.
You've lost three in a row to Tampa Bay. You were embarrassed in the last loss to Tampa Bay, 13-0. You needed a win in the worst way, and you know what? You almost got it in the worst way. Russ in New Jersey, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Good morning. Good afternoon, guys. Good. So, like you said, hard to watch sometimes, but good win. That lineup at Texas, and I remember in 23, they came into Toronto for a four-game series at the end of the season, and they just blew the doors off the Blue Jays. They scored like 9, I think 6, or if I forget what they won, one game like 6-3. Texas, that was the least they scored. Now, how this offense has fallen, you look at Garcia and Simeon in the 8th and 9th. It just, Garcia was, 100 RBIs, great hitter, and Simeon, that offense is bad. But I want to ask you a question, and I know maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself, but is this team, and I've said all along, the American League East and even the whole American League, you started the day two losses in the loss column behind a playoff team at 25. Mm-hmm. There, I think there were two teams tied. So, you think this team's going to be in it. But my issue is, come the trade deadline, and if they're, they're in it, you want to tell me a game this way, a game that way. And there's been a little bit of talk already about Bo Bichette. How can you convince me that Ross Atkins, who hasn't won a playoff game since 16, who is a guy that's probably, fighting for his job, how he still has one is anybody's guess. I don't know. But he's fighting for his job. Am I going to trust him to say, hey, Bo Bichette, we're going to trade you? Because I don't think, it's all these rumors. I don't think there's any chance they trade Bo Bichette, because as long as Ross Atkins is in charge, he's probably convinced he has to make the playoffs this year. But with Rodgers, you never know. So how am I convinced that he's going to make the right decision on Bo Bichette? Because they probably know by now if Bichette wants to stay or doesn't want, and pretty much you hear that he doesn't want to. So, is he going to trade him? I remember a couple of years ago the Orioles were in the race and they made a couple of trades at the deadline. Even last year, Detroit knew they were a good team and they basically made some trades and then they got hot. But my question is, do you trust Ross Atkins with the Bo Bichette decision if they're on the teetering on the playoffs for a guy that, really needs to save his job maybe by making the play, at least making the playoffs and probably winning a round, but that's maybe too much. So that's my real question. I know it's a little bit ahead of the game because trade deadline's not for a while, and this team is capable of going on a run if they get this kind of pitching. But that's my question to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, God, that's kind of the million-dollar question. I will say this. Ross Atkins has made some decent trades in the past. But yeah, I sort of don't look at it that way. My sense is we're kind of where we were with Vladdy. I think you let Bo test the market. You say, bring back your best offer and we'll decide whether or not we match it. And if it's me, if it's a type of offer that I think Bo is going to get in the open market, and remember, every time somebody goes to the open market, they generally sign for more than you think they're going to sign. I have to think hard about doing it. I mean, I need a middle of the order bat in here. I at some point in the next year, I need another middle of the order bat here.
Do you think Bo gets it?
Do
I trade Bo? If you traded Bo, you think you get it?
No, because
then why trade him?
That's my point. I'm saying right now you're trading a guy. You know what you're going to get for Bo? You're going to get a middle of the order guy who's also going to be a free agent. Nobody's going to give you anything for 4 months or 5 months of Bo Bichette.
Yeah,
I mean the time to trade Bo Bichette, if you wanted to put a real deal together, the time to trade him was this past winter or last off season. Mm-hmm. That was the time to do it. At this point now, if it's me. And I just ride with Bo. If somebody comes along and says to me, we pick a name. We're going to give you somebody with 3 years service time left for Bo Bichette. Yeah, but I can't imagine a team doing that because you're only getting Bo for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, who plays shortstop? Who hits leadoff? Those things.
Yeah, him. You know what? Him and Jimenez plays shortstop.
Yeah, and who plays second? I mean, if down the stretch, do you really want a combination of Ernie play? Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, but Kevin, I'm saying if you get that middle of the order hitter who's going to be here for a couple of years, then you think about it. But you're not going to get the middle of the order hitter who's going to be here for a couple of years. But, you know, you can trade. If you're going to trade Bo and you get that hitter, then you can add somebody else to play second base or shortstop. Bottom line is the only way I do it is if I'm getting that guy who can be my cleanup hitter or my fifth hitter.
Yeah.
Not just this year, but next year as well.
That ain't happening.
So, it's hard to imagine it. Would you? Would you trade for 4 months? Who would make that deal? Which team is going to make the deal? A rebuilding team's not trading for Bo because he's going to be a free agent.
Yep.
So who's going to make that deal? The Dodgers, you can move Mookie to the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But again, what are they going to give you? Does Bo make the Dodgers a World Series team?
They already are.
Yep. So I really think that when it comes to Bo, the time to move him would have been last year. In terms of whether or not you trust Ross Atkins, I don't, but he is the general manager. And I will say this. At this stage where this front office is, it ain't going to be Ross Atkins' call alone if they trade Bo.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely.
It's just not.
Nope.
So I know that's a long-winded answer, but that's kind of where I am in it.
I think that's the right answer.
Clifton, what's up, Clifton?
Oh, my friends. Listen, man. You're talking about middle-of-the-order bat. I want to talk about Mr. Tony Taters. Now, Jeff, I don't know. I'm sure you guys remember a couple of years ago, you had the venerable Joe Madden on the station. And you were asking him about Vladdy's struggle at the time and like what he would have done with Vladdy if, you know, he was the manager. And he told you guys that he would move Vladdy up and down the lineup. He would have Vladdy in the leadoff spot. And I'm wondering if that isn't something that they should try with Santander. Because it seems like every time this guy comes up to the plate with runners on, it's like, you know, he's whipped before he, you know, even swing the bat. And I'm thinking, man, like, this is one way of kind of taking some of the pressure off him. And, I know Barker is very good at these, you know, like seeing these things. So I also want to ask Barker, mm-hmm. I see Vladdy, it appears, that Vladdy is seeing the ball very well right now, and I think he's about ready to take off. What do you think?
Thanks, Clifton.
Yeah, look, I hope so. I mean, I think if you're a Jays fan, you hope so too. Me and Jeff have had this conversation many times, and I've often asked Jeff the question, and he never has the answer for me. But just because I don't think anybody's got the answer of why the slow starts, why is Vladdy look occasionally like he's late? Why does he look like slug to the pull side against velocity is very hard to come by, at least early in the season. And you saw the fastball, the ball that he hit to center field today. I think that's an example of it right there. That almost is a ball that if he's on time, he's backspinning that thing to right center and it's a homer. That for me, I think, is he's still a tick late. But I'm with you a little bit, Clifton. If you're asking me whether which one's the closest, it's got to be Vladdy. But I just don't know what you do with Tony. Like, Tony is – I don't even want to say he's close or in between. He's late, and he's getting really good pitches to hit. Not every one of them heaters are up. A lot of them are center cut.
And you made the point today. It's not like he – like last year he could not hit heaters up.
Absolutely. I mean, you go back and look at video. I mean, the video tells you and shows you that he's gotten on top of those and he's beat the dude to the spot. Why all of a sudden this long has he went not capable of doing that? Is he injured to the point where it's just not allowing him to do it?
Well,
I mean, he's playing.
He's playing.
So if he's playing, that'll tell you he thinks he can beat the guy to the spot. I just wonder consistently why it's taken him so long to figure this out. I mean, he's been around long enough. He's had enough success to know that. That's the million-dollar question. They need to figure it out and figure it out in a hurry.
Yeah, it's puzzling. I would like, maybe he's not 100%.
Let me ask you a question.
In the outfield.
Buck said move him in front of Vladdy. You think that'd help?
It can't hurt. I mean, it ain't working now.
Yeah. We're having John on Friday. We'll ask him.
Yeah, I
just don't know what it would do mentally.
I mean, it can't. Who cares?
Yeah, you do care.
You can't, but yeah,
because Vladdy's hitting enough, and to Clifton's point, Vladdy's, his at-bats are better than Tony's are.
But most of Vladdy's contributions are walking. And I can't have that from him. I don't understand. If this team was four games or five games over 500 and scuffling, and I'd say okay, but they've been like this all since the start of the year. I don't understand the reluctance.
I'd move a bunch of
nobody in the lineup. There's nobody in the lineup right now that I really care
you
about.
Know, you know what John's going to say? John's going to say, okay, so you want me to give Tony one extra bat than Varsho or Vladdy? Say yes or no to that answer. And if the answer to that is, I would love to. Oh, well, it doesn't make any sense. You want to get your better hitters more fast than the other
hitters?
Guy. But Varsho and Vladdy are better than Tony. You know that, and Bo is too. So you know that's what
John's
going
to
say.
You're prepared all year to have Varsho be a better hitter than Anthony Santander, then you ain't going to the playoffs.
If
Varsho's a better hitter than Santander, it does not get your team's not going to the playoffs.
Well, right now he is.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's what they're going to do. They're going to keep running the same damn thing out, and it's going to look the same. It's going to look the same.
I mean,
if you're okay with that, if you're okay with going 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position, if you're okay with losing 13-0 and not driving any runs in and winning games 2-1, yeah, great, have at it. But, you know, at this point in time, I don't care if I rub anybody the wrong. I don't care. Bo's probably not here next year. I don't care if Bo's upset if I move him out of the leadoff spot. I just don't.
Yeah, to get to your point, they gave Kirky the green light 3-0 with Tony standing on the on-deck circle. You don't know how it is? Because Kirky's hitting .279, runners in scoring position. Tony's hitting .170.
They also let Jonathan Clase hit for with the bases
loaded.
Tells
you all you need to know. Now you're wanting to put him in the two-hole? You are.
I'm not. I'm just saying move guys around. Move guys around. I don't care how you do it. Move guys around.
I think they've done that already.
Not that
Kirky's much. Hitting cleanup.
Not that much. They need to do more than that. They really
Well,
do.
Good luck.
I'm not married with Bo in the leadoff spot, and
well,
I don't.
Well, who's leading off?
I don't pretend to know who's going to lead off.
you're just throwing names against the wall.
It's not working.
Well, I mean,
it's not working. Is this lineup working? Is this lineup working?
Well, maybe it's talent. Maybe it doesn't matter where they hit in the lineup.
We're going to step away and come back and take a look around the American League East. It's a Memorial Day long weekend in the States, and the Out-of-Town scoreboard, mixed bag of news. For the Blue Jays. We'll deal with that next. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I thought our approach against him, you know, one of the best pitchers in the league, was really good. You know, you leave some guys on, but, you know, Varsh gets us on the board, and I thought we were just kind of on, you know, against him the whole game. He's tough, and you got to kind of take what you can get. But to have that against him was really impressive, and I think Addy was probably just sitting on a breaking ball from Milner and took his lumps there on three fastballs. But I like when we're – it seems like when we face good guys, you kind of lock it in and you say, okay, I got to do X, Y, and Z. Would have been nice to add on after that, but I thought our approach from the get-go was really good.
All right, that was Blue Jays manager John Schneider, and why not? Let's take what we can get.
Win's a win, buddy.
After we saw what we saw on the weekend. 2-1, the Blue Jays beating the Texas Rangers, the first of a three-game series at Globe Life Field in Arlington. Time now to take a look around the American League East with Bet365. At Bet365, you can bet in popular markets like hits, home runs, and total bases. Download the app and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19-plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. As I said, it's a bit of a mixed bag for the Blue Jays as far as the American League East goes. Today, the Yankees, they are in Anaheim to take on the Angels. That is a later start. The Baltimore Orioles beat the St. Louis Cardinals 5-2. We already mentioned Toronto beat Texas 2-1. And the Milwaukee Brewers, they beat the Boston Red Sox 3-2 today. So as we take a look at the standings, the Yankees are 32-20 going into tonight's game. 500 gets you second place in the AL East.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to be the case for the rest of the year. Tampa Bay is 26-26. Barker's Blue Jays are 26-27. The Red Sox are 27-29. And the Orioles are 19-34. Ouch. The Rays have won 5 in a row.
Yeah.
And the Yankees have won 2 in a row. The Yankees are...
best team in the American League?
I'm going to wait. I'm going to demur on that.
Well, you got two choices.
I'm going with the other team because I like their pitching better.
You do?
Yeah.
You like Scooble? Yeah. Over Fried. Fried's pretty good, too.
Yeah. I like Scooble. I also...
The Yankees have the MVP on the team.
Yeah.
So I'm taking the Yankees.
Yeah, the Yankees have the best player in baseball. I think we've got a few minutes left. Let's go to Morgan in Halifax. You're on Blue Jays Talk.
How's it going, guys?
Going well, Morgan. Thanks.
At the end of the day, I think we just need to sort out the top of the order here. Like you guys were saying, I mean, Bichette obviously hasn't been working in the leadoff spot. I mean, he hasn't had a hit in how many games? What is it, 4 at this point? It's not even like he's having competitive at-bats either. He's not drawing any walks, and I mean, it's just not really looking all that great. And body's looking good. He good contact. It's not the power you would expect out of him, but he's at least a bright spot and not many. Santander, I mean, he comes up to plate every 4 or 5 times a game, and that's just about it. So you'd like to get a little more out of him. Hopefully he sorts that out at some point. Kirk's been looking good as well, but I mean, I think you really got to sort the order out. It's not really, it's been inconsistent the whole year, and it's just not really, doesn't make much sense. You get these gems pitched from your starters. I mean, it's only a matter of time before Chris Bassett goes 9 innings and you lose 2-0 and comes undone in the media after the game, right? As well as John Schneider, I mean, everybody going on about firing John Schneider, I just don't really get it. I mean, whoever you bring in is going to have the same players to work with as John Schneider did. I mean, what would you guys say to everybody going on about John Schneider being the issue?
Yeah, I appreciate the call. You know, I got to tell you, maybe it's just because I don't spend as much time on social media anymore.
Don't hear that much anymore, do you?
No.
Not as much as you used to.
No, I mean, you hear a lot of fire Ross Atkins. Yeah. I hear that when I go to gas
store.
The car up.
You do? I do, too. Grocery
same guy,
store.
Too.
Yeah.
The guy always says to me, they're not listening to me, Mr. Blair. I say, well, they don't listen to me either. I hear a lot of fire Ross Atkins talk. I don't hear a lot of fired. You know, people are always, I keep reminding people, go back and read the stuff that was written about John Gibbons the first time he went around.
Sure.
He was manager here.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people who wanted John Gibbons fired for months because he sat in the dugout, didn't do anything, didn't look like he was interested. He was called Boomhauer by people. I mean, people just thought he was this just this not very bright guy. And you know, and then he comes back the second time, and lo and behold, he's got a good team.
Yeah.
It took him a while, but amazing, he got a good team. All of a sudden, he's like, you know, Casey Stengel.
Huh.
And so you got to keep that in mind.
As good as your players? Is that what you're saying?
Pardon me?
Only as good as your players?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Bruce Bochy became a lousy manager this year necessarily.
Wow. Weird how that works.
But, and having said that, you know, further to the other points caller made, Kevin, you know, again, I understand. Sitting here and saying, you got to do something to the lineup, you got to do something to the lineup, you got to do something to the lineup. Mm-hmm. And then when my friend Kevin says, all right, what would you do to it? I kind of throw my hands up and say, I don't know what I'd do with it. I just do something.
Is it easier to change the lineup around or fix the dudes that are having trouble in the lineup? Which is easier?
That's a $1 million question, because as a wise man tells me, as a wise man always says to me, and you know who the wise man is, I'm looking at the wise man, this team sure does have some long slumps. Like, it's it takes a long time to get some guys with track records out of slumps. I am almost at the point where it can't hurt to do something, and that is completely non-analytical. I get that. It makes no sense, but...
You're just doing it to be doing it.
I just don't know if Bo Bichette is being – I don't know if I'm getting the most I can get out of Bo's production in the leadoff spot, especially without Santander.
Who's leading off?
You know what? I'm almost at the point where I revisit the George Springer thing, and I do it holding my nose.
Well, here's the deal. You either like seeing Bo with the one or two pitch outs, or you would rather see him with lots of traffic –
I'd rather see those doubles driving in runs as opposed to leaving him in second base so Vladdy can, you know, draw a walk and then Santander strikes out and then Kirk hit.
Well, they scored first today in the first inning. With the issues they're having in the first inning, you would think you would put the guy up there who can work counts, have long at bats. It's not always about getting a hit.
I agree.
It's about making Vladdy comfortable enough to go up and be aggressive early in counts, which he has a real tough time doing after following Bo. Yeah,
I do. No, you've made that point
many times.
I do wonder about the Santander in front of Vladdy thing just to mix it up. Like, just
you're only doing it to help Tony. How's that help Tony? How's it help him?
I don't know. Maybe he
gets more less heaters.
I was going to say, no. And you know what? I don't know if I want him to see more heaters. He can't hit them.
Stop saying he hasn't
been able to hit them so far. So I don't know if that helps him.
So it gets back to you want the ECY out. You would rather not try and fix the dudes instead of just trying to mix them around in the lineup.
But why can't...
Yeah, he ain't doing both.
Why can't you fix players regardless of where they are in the lineup?
Because mentally it doesn't work that way. You cover enough baseball?
So you can't be... Anthony Santander is going to say, I don't want to work with you today because I'm hitting second instead of third.
Well, you ain't going to hit second.
Well, whatever. You know what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Well, that's what you're saying. Hit him second.
I'm saying if you're going
to... And all of his worries are over.
No. But I'm just saying that... So you're saying that a guy isn't... Moving a guy around in the order, all of a sudden he's going
to
stop working.
I would say put more emphasis into trying to fix the player.
I think they have.
No, they haven't. You don't think they're trying to fix these guys? I think it's the way they word it. That's just me. All right, I think you'd have been fixed already.
Okay, so who's going to fix him?
That's a great question. I'm not in the room. I don't have any answer for that.
Well, okay.
I mean, you would think he could fix himself, but he obviously can't do that. If you think he's healthy enough,
They tried 330 hitting coaches, and it hasn't been able to fix it.
Well, you need the 331st one. Maybe that.
You should be the 331st one.
Well, the people, they would like me or hate me. I can tell you that.
I know that.
Wouldn't be in between.
I know that. No, there's definitely no in between with you. Anyhow, that's it for us. Hey, it's a happy day. The Blue Jays won a baseball game. 2-1, we get to do it again tomorrow. Don't forget, Blair and Barker moves from 4 to 6, or 2, 4 to 6 Eastern tomorrow on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, thank you as always for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Chatham and Wallaceburg. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center. Visit crown.com. Crown is Canada's number one rust protection.